Chapter 38. Michael pulled up at the Memorial Park. The gates were locked and the park keeper's chimney was smoking. He drove along the wooded perimeter until he was out of view of the house, then approached the iron fence. The sturdy black rails were spear-tipped. Michael climbed onto the hood of his car, then took hold of the rails just below the sharpened tips. Hooking a leg onto the top beam, he launched himself over. He traded his dignity for a soft landing, allowing a hedge to break his fall. With leaves and twigs in his hair, he set off in search of his son's plot. A crimson sunset bathed the Memorial Park. It was a beautiful space with lakes, fountains, and birds. Michael wondered why his mother had never invested in such a thing for his late grandfather or dad. A meandering path took him to the allocated plot, where he knelt on the damp grass. There, a statuette rested on a modest plinth. The bronze metalwork depicted a diminutive figure in a wheelchair. Strapped to the back of the chair was an oxygen tank, with tubes reaching over the boy's shoulders into his nostrils. A blanket covered his bony knees, and a withered arm rested across his lap. By contrast, his other arm was outstretched triumphantly. In his hand, he was proudly clutching a frisbee. A huge smile adorned the boy's face. His eyes were carved so as to capture the sunlight, giving them a warm twinkle. Beneath the statuette was an inscription. "The bravest boy we could have wished for. He lived every one of his 18 years to the full." Michael reached out a hand and rested it on the statuette. He covered his mouth as he wept, overwhelmed by guilt for the son he'd never known and pain for the parents who had lost the boy they loved. Sitting on the grass, he stared at the figurine until he could barely see it in the darkness. Shivering, he climbed to his feet and made his way to the fence. Of the many hedges and trees encompassing the park, it took some searching to find a branch low enough and strong enough to give him the boost he needed to overcome the railing. He fell to the ground with a heavy thud. Groaning and nursing his ankle, he limped back to the car. Michael hobbled down the basement steps. Seizing the empty chocolate tin, he doused it with engine oil. "What are you doing?" cried Kelsey, hurrying down after him. Michael lit a match and tossed it into the tin, which erupted in flames. "Michael!" yelled Kelsey. He pulled out the note Kelsey had given him. It was the handwritten address of his son's memorial lot. He scrunched it up and tossed it into the fire. Michael watched silently as the edges of the paper curled and charred, fragmenting and rising out of the flames. A delicate halo of ash fell like powder around the blazing tin. With the note gone, Michael reached into his pocket once again. Kelsey's mouth hung open as she realized what he was holding. The document that could see her jailed for life. Michael stared at the Broxley family's birth certificate for a long moment, then tossed it into the fire. Kelsey descended the steps as the desk began to smolder. Michael's eyes remained glued to the burning tin, indifferent to mounting smoke. Grabbing a plank from the junk pile, Kelsey placed it over the tin, smothering the flames. Delicately, she took Michael's hands in hers.
"I'm so sorry I hid it all. There was no way to tell you. I was only trying to protect our family," she croaked.
Michael continued staring at the smoldering tin. "If you want to protect our family, you need to be part of it," he said distantly.
"What do you mean?"
"Stop running from us. Stop trying to fix every other family in this city. Be with the one you created," said Michael. Kelsey nodded tearfully.
"Thank you for not going to the police," she said.
"What you did for Sophia was a kindness. Turning you in would only have brought pain, and there's been enough of that tonight," said Michael.
"We can start again," said Kelsey, stroking his arm.
"You're sure the detective's done with you?" said Michael.
"You just burned the only evidence. We're clear."
"Good," said Michael, nodding distantly. "I don't know if I can ever forgive what you did, taking my son from me. But I'm grateful we have a daughter, and I'm grateful she has a mother. So there's that."
I understand," said Kelsey. "I hope with time we can heal. At least we don't have to worry about the police anymore."
"At least there'll be no link between you and the Broxleys if the detective calls again," said Michael.
"Why would she come back?" said Kelsey.
Michael tapped his fingertips together, staring at the floor.
"Hey, Michael, answer the question. Why would the detective come back? More to the point, you've not even told me why she was here in the first place. Michael thought for a moment, then swallowed.
Because I killed a man.